Doresc ca Domnul să vă binecuvinteze pe fiecare în această seară. Amin? Amin. Am să citesc doar un verset pentru mesajul pentru limba engleză în această seară din Evrei 11, versetul 21. So, it's going to be Hebrew 11, verse 21. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both of sons of Joseph and worshipped leaning upon the top of his staff. So I want to be very clear, understood from the beginning. What we're trying to do with this Bible study and with those characters from Hebrew 11, we're not trying to judge them in any kind of way, but we're trying to see what we can learn from their life and from their experiences. And I believe this whole Bible is a fountain full of wisdom and knowledge that we can all learn from. You see, when Jesus first saw Nathanael, he says, "Finally, I saw an Israelite in whom I didn't find any kind of swindle, any kind of fakeness, any kind of trickness, any kind of Jacob." Because the name Jacob means the cheater, the tricker, the one that fakes. And if we have to be honest with each other tonight, my dear brothers and sisters, at some point in our life, we were all a Jacob. And maybe we could have added this name to all our first names tonight. And if we are something different tonight, we're not because of us. But we are just because of God's mercy and God's grace that He had, He has, and He's still having for us. Amen? Amen. You know, God wants everyone to be saved. This is God's plan for the world. And there's two categories of people. The first category are the people that are hearing the word of God one time or two times. They go to the church. And they don't need a lot of times to receive Jesus Christ in their life because they understand that they need repentance and they need Jesus as a Savior. And this is the easy way. This is the way that God wants all of us to follow. And then there's another category of people. The stubborn people. The complicated people. The people that are having a million chances. The people that are hearing the word of God a lot of times. And they're always rejecting it. They're always denying it. They're always saying no. For those kind of people, God has other methods. Sometimes it can be the sufferings. I remember this family in Romania, in the city where I used to live. It was a long time ago, and this guy had a wife and a daughter. And his wife and daughter decide to receive Jesus Christ in their life as a Savior. And this man was so against it that he literally threw them outside on the streets. He didn't want to have anything to do with them for 17 years. After 17 years, he got very sick. And he accepted them in his life to kind of come and kind of take care of him every once in a while. And one time this woman would call my dad and she would say, "Pastor, please come to my house. I talked to my husband about God. He wants to receive Jesus Christ in his life. I want him to be baptized. I don't want him to die unsaved. I don't know how long he's still going to live." And my dad would rush to their house. And of course he would start talking to this guy about God. And suddenly this guy would turn 180 degrees and he would say, "No, I don't want to have anything to do with your God. Leave me alone." And unfortunately, tragically even, he died. And he died unsaved. The title of my message tonight is called Broken But Blessed. Broken But Blessed. Distrus, lovit, dacă vreți, dar totuși binecuvântat. And we're just going to try to see some real facts, some real truths that we can learn tonight and we can acknowledge tonight from this man, Jacob. You know, the first thing, the best makeup can't be a real face. The best makeup can't be a real face. Nici măcar cel mai bun far din lume nu poate să substituie o față reală. A makeup is a cover, right? Girls, ladies, usually they put some on their face, sometimes to look prettier, sometimes to cover some uncomfortable spots. But it's always going to be a makeup. It's never going to be a real face. It can be a mask, yes, but it's never going to be a face. You know, Jacob was a man that lived 147 years. He had two wives, two beaten wives, 13 kids, 12 boys and one girl, and a lot of problems. A lot of conflicts. He was actually the man of conflicts, the man that would always be in the conflicts, even though he always tried to avoid them and run away from them. And the first moment, the first conflict where we see Jacob here is the family conflict. Because my dear brothers and sisters, a lot of times the conflicts are starting in the family. He was his mama's boy, the boy that would always stay home with his mom, the boy that would always stay with her, follow her advices, learn how to cook. His brother, his twin brother, Esau, he was his daddy's boy, right? And the difference between those two was that for one of them, for Esau, the brain would first function going through the stomach. This is why he got fooled twice by his brother, right? First with the first born right, and then with that he sold for a soup, and then with a blessing. And we all know the story, right? Isaac is old and blind, and Jacob is following his mom's advice, and he comes there pretending that he's Esau. And he says, I have this food, I need the blessing. And Isaac is old, but he says, yes, but your voice sounds like Jacob. No, Dad, I'm Esau, touch me. And he's touching him, but he's touching the fake skin. He's touching the fake makeup. He's touching the fake hair. You know, I'm wondering what went through Jacob's mind at that time, at that point, in that moment. I fooled my dad. I fooled him again. It was probably not the first time. I fooled my brother. I fooled my family. I'm fooling everyone. You might have came here tonight and you said, I fooled my family. I fooled my husband, my wife, my daughters. I'm fooling my pastors. I'm fooling my brothers and my sisters. But let me tell you something tonight. You're never going to be able to fool God. Because God is not a blind Isaac. God sees beyond my suit. God sees beyond your clothes. God sees beyond your sermon. God sees beyond your song. God sees beyond your bank account. God sees beyond your face. God sees beyond your smile. And he comes to you and he comes to me tonight and he said, why are you pretending being someone else? Why are you telling me you're an Esau when on your birth certificate your name is Jacob? And we wonder so many times why our prayers, they don't go over the ceiling. Oh God, forgive us. Forgive us that so many times we came in front of you pretending that we're someone else. You know very good who we are. We can't fool you. We just want to come in front of you. We just want to come at your knees and say, this is who I am, God. Please change me. Please transform me. Please make me someone else. I'm never going to be able to fool God. You're never going to be able to fool God. Don't try that. Two, the repentance is never conditioned. Pocăința nu o condiționăm niciodată, dragii mei, frați și surori. Try to picture with me this image. Esau was at work. It was probably a Friday. I don't know, maybe a short day. And he's thinking in his mind, tonight is going to be a big night. Tonight is going to be a big moment. Tonight I'm going to get the blessing that I've been waiting for so long. Maybe my brother's going to help me. Maybe Jacob's going to help me. He's really good with making food and stuff. And he goes home. He goes home and he says, Father, the dinner's ready. The food is ready. Isaac is on the couch, probably with his toothpick between his teeth. What dinner? The dinner, Dad. I'm here to get the blessing. What blessing? I just gave you the blessing. Who did I give the blessing to? And then Esau's world crashes down, and the conflict starts, and the fire is burning, and he wants to kill his brother. And Jacob leaves, and he runs, and he goes to Bethel, and he comes in front of the Lord, and he says, Lord, please do something with my life. What am I going to do now, Lord? I'm repenting. My brother's going to kill me. You know, a lot of times we live an easy life, and we're living it very smooth. Until you go to the doctor one time, and he says, I don't know. I'll give you the results in 2 weeks, 50% cancer. Then I'll go to every prayer. Then I'll tell everyone in every church, please pray for me. I don't want to die. Frați și surori, asta e un adevăr, că din păcate, mulți oameni se pocăiesc mai mult că le e frică de iad decât că își doresc cerul. We don't need to be scared of death. We don't need to be scared of something that supposedly would happen to us here on this earth. But nothing might happen. I mean, we might live an easy life, we might live rich, we might live healthy, but very healthy we can go in hell too. We don't need to be scared of death. We need to crave the heaven. We need to want the heaven in our life. We need to want our Lord. We need to seek our Lord every day of our life. And, you know, God is showing Jacob that letter that I was talking about so many other times. And that letter full of blessings, but unfortunately, Jacob sees only the first step of the letter. It's like you would go in a multimillionaire house, and the owner would come to you, and he would say, you know, pick whatever you want from my house. I'll give it to you for free. And you would probably choose the trash can. One of the most unimportant and insignificant things. Because this is what Jacob saw. This is what he wanted. He just saw the first step of that God's ladder that was going down from the bottom to heaven. And you know, he comes to the Lord și acolo în versetul, în capitolul 28, versetul 20 din Genesa spune, și Iacov a făcut o juruință și a zis, dacă va fi Domnul cu mine în călătoria mea, Dacă îmi va da pâine să mănânc și haine să mă îmbrac și dacă mă voi întoarce în pace în casa tatălui meu, atunci Domnul va fi Dumnezeul meu. In other words, God, if you'll give me $1 million, I'll give you half. But first give me the million. What about first I give God something? What about first I have some faith and some trust in God? A lot of times we're losing our faith. He was used to do business with Esau, and now he's coming to do business with God. Brothers and sisters, we never do business with God. You know, it bothers me a lot of times that a lot of people have this mentality of, you know, God, if you'll do this, God, and then I'll change. Do this, God, and then I'll be like that. God, you're my friend. God, you're my body. Yes, God is your friend. But let me tell you something. We lose the sense of respect for our God so many times. Moses, when he was about to enter in that holy place, God says, you better take your shoes off because you're entering in the holy place. Brothers and sisters, in front of our Lord, we don't come anyhow. We don't talk anyhow. We don't act anyhow because our God is holy. Our God is holy. We never come with God with if. We have to come with God with must. Lord, I must obey you. I must love you. I must seek you. I must adore you. All of my life, all of your life. May the Lord help us. You know, there's this moment when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're in a desperate situation, maybe humanly desperate. And they tell the king, you know, our God can save us even from this situation. You know, I was thinking about that situation and I was thinking about their life and their response. And, you know, they could have told God, God, you know what, I'll be faithful. I'll be faithful no matter what. I'll be faithful in front of this king. I'll be faithful in front of this world. I'll be faithful to you no matter what. But you better save me. I mean, I better not die if I'm faithful, right? No. They say, you know what, our God can save us, even from this situation. But if he will save us or if he will not save us, we don't know. We don't know because he didn't show us, he didn't reveal us the plan that he has with us on this earth. He revealed the plan with us on the heaven. We know what's waiting for us there. We know what he prepared for us there. We know what's going to happen there. But he didn't reveal the plan for us in this world. You know why? Because I don't live for this world. I don't live for this earth. I don't live for the material. I don't live for my job. I don't live for the money. I don't live for these fulfillments that unfulfillments that I'm having here. But I'm living for heaven. And you should be living for heaven too, my dear brothers and sisters, tonight. 3. Number 3. We always endure the consequences of our actions. And I'm just going to read the 2 verses from Genesis 29. And it came to pass when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. And Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted up his voice and wept. You know, when a young man sees a young woman and they fall in love and stuff, it's usually the first tip. It's the physical attraction. And there's a couple, even though I just got married, I'm not talking about me, just so you know. There was this couple that went to their pastor for counseling before they got married. And the pastor asked the guy, what made you want to be with this girl and marry this girl? And the guy says, well, the first time I met her, she was such a righteous woman, such a woman of God, such a woman of prayer. And then the pastor looks at him and he says, wow, you should really be a pastor because you saw in a moment what I didn't see in years. You know, Jacob, not only that he sees the beauty of Rachel here with his eyes, but he also sees the potential treasure too. He sees the sheep. What an image, huh? The shepherd, think about it for a second. The shepherd with no money in his pocket other than a stick, a kiss, and tears, right? And the beautiful girl with a lot of money, with sheep, and with her heart melted. You know, Jacob thought that he saw the treasure, but the real treasure wasn't that. He had to work for that treasure. He had to earn that treasure, 20 years total. The real treasure was actually Laban. He was the gift that came combo with Rachel. And he says there in chapter 29, verse 14 about Jacob, Laban says, oh, surely you're bone from my bones and flesh from my flesh. In other words, oh, I know who you are. You're my family. You're a tricker, exactly like me. You're the same way. You know what this guy Laban was for Jacob? He was God's tool of justice. Because he was responding to this guy in the same way that he did to his family. You know, a lot of times, brothers and sisters, we come to church. And we have an amazing time here. God is present and we feel the Holy Spirit. We feel the presence of the Lord. And in the morning, in the night, and it's amazing. And we feel like we never want to go home. And then you go home Monday. We go to work Monday. You go to school. And you find your Laban. Always the same people. Always there to annoy you. Always there to piss you off. Everything that you do, it's always wrong. If he has something good to say, he's always going to say something bad or something wrong. And you say, oh my God, this is the devil's work again. Let me tell you something. It's not devil's work. No. No way. You know what it is? It's God's work. God lets those Labans in our life for a reason, my dear brothers and sisters. Because he wants to make us tougher. He wants to make us stronger. He wants to make us real men and real women of God. It's a continuously test that God is putting us all the time. You know what I liked about Jacob? One thing that I liked about him? Not only this, but the fact that he was waiting 7 years for a kiss. What I learned from Jacob is that the real love always waits. The crave never. The crave is selfish. The crave says no, I don't care. It's no one's business. No one has to know. But the real love waits. The real love is patient. The real love knows how to control itself. It's been 20 years. Think about it. 7 years, you're working for the girl that you love, and then you get someone else. A big disappointment. Then you have another 7 years, then another 6 years, total 20 years. I don't know how many of us would have been able to do this. And finally, after 20 years, he goes back, a different man. He goes back a powerful man. He goes back a man with kids, a man with wives, a man with gold, a big man. But a man that is scared to see his brother. And my question is, what for? What for if you are a good singer or a good preacher? What for if you are a great Christian? What for if you are a powerful man? If you see your brother and you can't look in his eyes, if he comes on from the church, you have to go on the other. What for if I can have fellowship with him? What for if I can praise my God with him? Brothers and sisters, we need to love each other the same. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter the color. It doesn't matter if he's tall, he's short. It doesn't matter if he has a degree or if he didn't have a high school. It doesn't matter. God is calling us to love each other the same way. Because if I'm not going to be able and if I can't love my brother and my sister, that means I don't love God. That means I lie. I can say, God, I love you, but I don't love God. Because facts speak louder than words. And number four, and last, you got to be broken in order to be restored. Brothers and sisters, we live in a world where we don't have time for nothing. We live in a world where everyone's talking to us. The media's talking to us, the internet, the newspapers, the TV, radio, billboards all over on the freeways. We're busy. We have our ears busy everywhere. One guy would come to me one time and he would say, man, God's never speaking to me. Well, of course God's never speaking to you. If the TV is speaking 6 hours and the internet another 6 hours, God's never going to speak to you. That's for sure. Jacob understood that in order to meet his God and to have God speak to him, he needs to take time for God. And he does that. And he has that meeting with God. And after that meeting, the Bible says that he was a limp for the rest of his life. Biblia a spus că a fost șchiop pentru tot restul vieții lui. You know why? Because after you meet God, you don't walk the same. He saw in Esau, in his brother, the worst enemy. He was scared. That whole trip was scared. He saw in his brother the killer. He saw in his brother the devil. And the Bible says that after he met God, he saw in Esau's God's face. Because brothers and sisters, after you meet God, you don't walk the same. You don't think the same. You don't love the same. You love different. You act different. You have another perception about life. You have another perception about your brothers and your sisters. And you have another vision because you are a different person. You are a different man. You are a different woman. Because everything that you see and everything that I see through God's eyes. It's hard for us to understand this broken thing, it's very hard. It was hard for me. And, I'll give you just an example. Like, if I have, like, a glass, okay, drinking water, or I have a plate, and it fell down, it breaks in pieces. What am I going to do? I'm just going to trash it, right? It's useful. I can use it anymore. God works a little different. You know what God says? Oh, you're broken in pieces? Finally, I can use you. Finally, I can use you now that you're broken. Because until now, you were on a wall, on a nice frame, and I would always have to take the rag and always clean you every once in a while because you would sit on that chair and on that bench, and now finally I can send you. Finally, I can use you. Finally, you can be used. It's very hard for us to understand. And, I'm not better than any of you guys here, and I'm not trying to preach and make myself an example or anything like that, but I never heard anyone coming here and say, you know, I want to bless the Lord for the fact that I was in the hospital for 3 weeks. I want to bless the Lord, and this is the biggest blessing. Thank you, Lord, for this blessing that I lost my job, or thank you for this blessing that I lost my house. Maybe some of you guys would say, man, you're crazy. How can you say something like that? Frați și surori, Apostolul Pavel spune că noi suntem binecuvântați cu tot felul de binecuvântări cerești și pământești. The blessings are not what's good for us. The blessing is what's good for God. Because a lot of things in our way would seem like they would be blessings, but they might not be blessings in God's book or vice versa. You know, this man Jacob understood what the real blessing are. He's the one that goes back to Bethel and he tells his wives and his family, just leave the idols, leave the treasure, leave the gold, leave everything behind. We don't need anything. He just takes his stick. Because this man understood what the real blessing are and what the real blessing means. You know, he's the one that is blessing his kids and his grandkids before he dies, Joseph's son, Manasseh and Ephraim. Because in order to bless someone else, you need to be blessed. And in order to be blessed, you need to be broken. It's very easy. It's hard, but easy. You see, you might never know, but one of your biggest blessings can be on your way home from a funeral after you lost someone that you loved. You might be the most blessed on the bed in a hospital. You might be the most blessed in a moment where you're walking on the streets and you don't know how you're going to make your payment tomorrow, and you don't know where you're going to put on the table, the food for your family. And those might be the biggest blessings that you had. You know, about 6 years ago, I was in one of my toughest times, one of the toughest moments of my life. And I was literally broke. I would stay in my room, and I would cry for like 3 or 4 hours. I would be depressed. I would feel like I'm melting like a chocolate on an asphalt on 130 degrees. I didn't know what to do with my life. I knew the Lord. I grew up in a Christian family. I knew what's good and what's bad. But I said, God, I'm trying to be logical here. You see my situation. You see how everything inside of me is breaking in pieces, and I don't know what to do with my life. I'm right here by myself between those four walls. Are you here? Because a lot of times we know how to preach to other people, and I know how to do that, or you know how to do that, but when it's about me and my life, I'm so weak. And I was just crying. And I didn't tell anyone about this situation, not even my own family. The second day, my mom is calling me, and she says, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm okay. This woman from our church that God speaks through her, she came to me yesterday and she said, I want you to tell your son this. The Lord speaks so. I was right there in that room between those four walls when you were crying. And I heard your voice. But in order to be blessed, you need to be broken. This is when I understood what it means to be broke and broken in pieces, but more than that, what it takes to be blessed. You know, brothers and sisters, we need to understand the blessings, what they mean, what they really mean, what they really are. it's very hard a lot of times because we're in situations and we feel like we can't get out from them. And it's very hard a lot of times. But my prayer and your prayer tonight should be, God, you know what? Just guide me. Direct me. I don't want to go by myself. I don't want to lose myself in this world full of snakes that are always ready to bite me. You be my way. You be my direction. You be my guidance. You stay in front of me all the time. I don't want to stay in front of you because I can't. I want to stay behind you. And I want to look at you all the time. May God help us understand His will for us. May God bless us. And may God help us to say like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we don't care for this. We don't care for these material things. We don't care for what's here. We want to stick to the heaven. We want to stick to our Lord. We want to stick to the eternity. We want to stick there. This is our world. This is our home. This is our way. Jesus Christ. Amen.